thank you for your prayers. And so far they hadn't found what was wrong, but they did say that even though I had in my heritage there ran heart troubles, that it skipped me. So I have no blockages or damage in my heart, and but I've got some follow-up appointments to go to. I'm trying to figure out what type of attack I actually did have, and but I appreciate your prayers. And let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your divine grace, Lord, your forgiveness, Lord, your cleansing. Lord, truly you are most honorable, most high, Lord, worthy of all of our worship. Lord, we ask now that you would guide us through your scriptures, Lord, that it would be able to be instructing and help and encouragement to the people, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to read from Hebrews 13, 13th chapter, begin at verse 5, and we're going to continue on with the message we had started a couple of weeks ago, considering the end of the conversation. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who hath spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the scripture said these men were to follow their faith. It didn't say we're to be following man. But if the man's faith is of the original faith, then that's what we follow. Then we follow that faith. And we consider, it says, the end of their conversation, which the end of their conversation, Brother Branham said, should be Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It should never, their conversation should never be about lifting themselves up. However, as we studied a couple of weeks ago, we found that anytime God sends a man, then the man will proclaim that God has sent him. And it, that if there's a scriptural sign there, then that man or that prophet will point at that scriptural sound that speaks of them. In other words, telling who they are. Moses told who he was by saying, the I am sent me. And he proclaimed to the children of Israel that God had sent him by telling them, he came to me and I met him in a burning bush that burned but was not consumed. And so he identified who he was. He identified himself to be the deliverer that they were looking for. Now, there were those that doubted, but in the end believed to as much as coming out of Egypt. But the Bible says there was a mixed multitude that came out. So though there were those that said, okay, we'll accept you're the deliverer, but when it came down to actually the fulfillment of the word of God, they stumbled at that. When it come down to where God had promised to give them the land, they stumbled there. So they were believing up to a point. As many in over this age, you know, they made comments about Brother Branham was a prophet when he prayed for the sick. Oh, but when it came to his doctrine, be careful. So they found a place where they wouldn't continue walking in the light of the truth. But as the truth is revealed, you must continue to walk in it. Now, Revelations chapter 10, verse 7 says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets." We're living in a time like no other prophet has lived. We're living in a time like no apostle has lived in. We're living in the end time. We're living in a time where it was promised that the mysteries of God would be revealed. There were mysteries that were hid. There were truths that were lost. Through the dark ages, we find that Martin Luther takes his stand against Catholicism, but he still held some of their doctrine. They still baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They still held some of those teachings. It had been lost. Listen, in the beginning, when the ministry of Paul, they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But somewhere that truth got lost down through the ages. But God said he would restore. And we find that at the beginning of this last age, and we find that many within this age right now are still baptizing in titles. But God promised he would restore, and so he sent a prophet, and the word always comes to the prophets, and he sent a prophet to bring that truth back to the people to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we believe that seventh angel that is spoke of in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, is also the same angel that it speaks about in Revelation 3:14 of the seventh church age messenger, the angel to the Laodicean church. Brother Branham says, notice the type of ministry that he has. It's not the type of ministry that this prophet was to have, this seventh angel messenger, wasn't to be like the ministry of any of those preceding him, because none of the rest of them had a ministry that come to reveal all mysteries. But this seventh angel, his ministry was to reveal all mysteries. His ministry finishes the mysteries of the written book. Now, Brother Branham points to some of these mysteries that are listed in the Scofield Bible, and he says, let's start with those. And so he begins to point to these mysteries that are to be revealed through this seventh angel, and it says, number one was the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And we know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you. No man can see the kingdom of heaven except be born again. Amen. The second mystery was the mystery of Israel's blindness during the time of the Gentiles. Israel was blinded. So yet today, there are devout Jews that are still looking for the coming of the Messiah. Their eyes have been blind, so that there might be time to call out a Gentile bride. But there's coming a time when the Gentile bride is taken from the earth, and when they are, then we know that according to the book of Revelations, that Jesus is going to come down and reveal himself to be the Messiah that they were looking for all along. And they'll ask him, where did you get those nail prints in your hands? And he'll say, in the house of my friends. And it'll be revealed to them that the man that was crucified 2,000 years ago was indeed the Messiah, and is the same person that's standing before them right then, revealing unto them who he is. and it'll call out 144,000. Israel's blindness. Paul says this in Romans 11, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest we should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is to happen to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The third mystery was a translation of the living saints at the end time. It says this in in 1 Thessalonians 4, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So this is the translation of the saints to be at the end time. So the dead in Christ will rise and then will be changed, as the Bible says, in a moment, twinkling of the eye, and we'll be caught up with those who have went by the way of the grave. We'll be caught up with them, and it's a translation, a rapture that's taking place. And this was one of the mysteries. And you say, well, there's a lot of denominations that believe in the rapture, but how do they believe in it? You see, the rapture is in process now, because there's a voice, the shout, and the trump. And they've missed the shout, which was the message. They've missed it. So when you miss the shout, you've missed part of the rapture. And so therefore, you know, they're waiting for something that's never going to happen to them. They have no understanding of it. I've heard them talk about, you know, cars wrecking, planes crashing, graves splitting open and all that. That's not going to be a secret catching away. And the rapture, the translation saints, is supposed to be secret. It's a secret catching away. So you see, there's many sides of this that they actually lack the true revelation of it. The fourth mystery was of the New Testament church as one body composed of both Jews and Gentiles. You realize that the New Testament church, there were, of course, the apostles. They were Jews. There were, of course, those that Jews that did come and believe under the ministry of Paul. Of course, we know for the most part there were those that rejected. And so Paul turned from then the Jews to the Gentiles. That was part of the blinding. And the fifth mystery is the church as the bride of Christ. So, you know, there are those that believe when they talk about the scripture, the meek shall inherit the earth. And so they believe that they don't believe in a bride of Jesus Christ. They believe as far as being a Gentile bride, but they believe that it'll actually be the Jews, 144 that will actually be in the city, and that the Gentiles will be outside of the city because the meek shall inherit the earth. But that's a blinding that they have. They don't have the true revelation that talks about there being a Gentile bride, and that bride will be in the city with the groom. Now, all these things that I'm saying to you, I wouldn't know them if God hadn't sent a prophet in this last day to open up those mysteries. Ephesians 5:28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So Paul is saying here, Christ and the church are one. They're of one body. Of which we know that he is the head. The sixth mystery, that's the one we're actually dealing with in this whole series of messages here, is the living Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, what he did in his day, in the day when the Lord Jesus was here, 3.5 years, he said, greater than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. And that we should see this Jesus of 2,000 years ago being the same Jesus today. In other words, being able to do the same thing. The sixth mystery, okay, I just said that. The seventh mystery is of God, even Christ, as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied in whom all wisdom, all divine wisdom. So the mystery of the Godhead. The eighth mystery is of the process by which godliness is restored to man. 1 Timothy 3:16 said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on the on in the world, and received up into glory. So this process by which godliness is restored to man is... you realize, when was godliness lost? In the garden. That's when it was lost. And so it was to be restored. And it was restored when Jesus Christ came and took our place, became our sacrifice, and he, through him, we are made godly. We are made righteous through his righteousness. It's not in ourselves. The ninth mystery was the mystery of iniquity. It's found in 2 Thessalonians. And we know also that the iniquity will abound in this last age. And we know that the scripture says that Christ... the rapture won't take place until the cup of iniquity is full. I'm telling you, friends, it's nearing that place. I don't know how, you can't hardly see how it's not already overflowing. The 10th mystery, the seven stars of Revelations 1 and 20. The seven stars of the seven churches, the seven messengers. That's what that mystery was, that what was wrote here was not just God speaking to seven different pastors of these churches in Asia Minor, but it was actually prophecy speaking to seven church age messengers who would be a messenger to each of the seven church ages. And those church ages, they would, the nature of those church ages would mirror the nature of those seven churches of Asia Minor. 11th mystery is mystery Babylon, the great whore of Revelations 17. And it says in Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. And the beast that thou sawest is not, and shall ascend into the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written on the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, and here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman setteth. Now, perhaps you know this, but there's only two cities in the world that set on seven hills. One of them is Cincinnati, Ohio, and the other one's Rome. Now, Brother Bram said, these are some of the mysteries that this angel's supposed to wind up, the mysteries, all the mysteries of God. May I say this with reverence, not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God. The serpent seed, that's been a hidden mystery all through the years. And we know, you know, people that struggle with predestination, Christians that struggle with understanding predestination, if you realize, they don't have a revelation of serpent seed. A revelation of serpent seed would show you predestination, would open that up. Another one was grace to be straightened out. Not to be a disgrace, but real true grace. And so there are even those yet today that they believe in grace, but they believe in it that it's okay for you to knowingly live and do things that are wrong because of grace. But that's disgrace. But to really understand what grace is. And then another thing was no such thing as an eternal burning hell. Brother Bram says you'll burn for a million years, but anything that was eternal never had a beginning or end, and hell was created for the devil and his angels. So friends, look, according to the Bible, hell wasn't even created for people. But they'll choose to go there. But hell is not an eternal thing. Hell will cease to exist. Mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Now, there many always looked at how, you know, they wanted an assurance. You know, something everybody wants. An assurance that they have the Holy Ghost. And so they would search through the scripture and they would look at different things and latch on to things that they could, tangible things that they could look at to say, well, I've done this, so I have the Holy Ghost. And they talked about speaking in tongues. And Brother Branham said, that's the reason you couldn't tell the woman out there wearing shorts that she didn't have the Holy Ghost, because she'd tell you, well, I spoke in tongues. And there's a lot that are deceived in thinking they have the Holy Ghost because of some outward sensation or sign, when the real true sign of having the Holy Ghost is your life saying amen to the word. It's in receiving the word for your day. Not just saying, I follow it. Because there's a lot of people who say they follow it, but their lives don't line up. So the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation, and the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. The mystery of water baptism, where the Trinitarianism has brought into it titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the mystery of the Godhead being fulfilled in the baptism of the name of Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, in the book of Revelations, a church in this time was to receive there some of these mysteries. Another, the pillar of fire returning back. That we see has happened. And you know, for those that are turning their back and walking away from the message, let them point at another man where the pillar of fire appeared with him in their time or in this age or in this end time. You know what it is? They stumble at the flesh. They stumble at the old badger skin. Could you imagine approaching the holies of holies in the time of Moses? And when you got there, the thing that was covering the holy, the most holy place was old badger skin. It was a representation of the word being housed in bodies of flesh. Old badger skin. Hallelujah. The pillar of fire returning again. Seeing the pillar, same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, the same one that struck down Saul on the road to Damascus, the same one coming with the same power, doing the same things, and revealing the same words, staying word by word with the bride, with the Bible, I mean. The sound of the trumpet means a gospel trumpet. The sounding of a trumpet in the Bible means get ready for scriptural war. And we're getting it down, scriptural war. Paul said, if you want to put this down, 1 Corinthians 14:8, Paul said, if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will a man know what to prepare for? If it doesn't have a scriptural sound, a vindication of the word of God made manifest, how will we know we're at the end time? If they say they believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, but deny his signs and wonders. So there was many that claimed to believe Jesus. Yes, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. But when they saw the sign come forth through a little lowly Kentuckian, they wouldn't accept the sign. And yet, if you really believe Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, you could accept the sign. Now, I know there are those that, and I don't say this in any way of a derogatory way or putting down or making lesser. I pray God opens their eyes, but I know there are those that say they believe this message that don't believe the seven seals been opened. But if you go through the message, then you'll see that seal was open. First of all, Brother Branham saw what it was. And he said in that message when he was supposed to bring the seven seals, he said, he stopped. and said, perhaps I've said too much. The devil can't know this. If he knows this, he'll do great damage. Then what happened was, friends, what was under that seventh seal began to take place from that opening time right on down through until God actually took the prophet off the scene. There were these mysteries of the rapture and all these different things that were being opened and revealed and spoke on and opened up to the bride. And the great sermon of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and many others that were opened up to the bride at that time. And I believe, and I'll show you why, I believe that it was, what part was under that seventh seal was a lowly Kentuckian man, flesh, being used by Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ could come down then through him and open those seals. Now, I want to read you a few things here. In the message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham says, in Revelations it said, this great city reigned over the kings of the earth, and she was a whore. What is that? A woman that claims to be a lady and commits fornication. She had a cup in her hand, filled with the filthiness of the abominations of her fornications. And she had daughters. Protestant churches, that everyone that came out of her with her same false doctrines, same baptisms, by shaking hands instead of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and their false doctrine of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all that, instead of taking the name of the bridegroom and so forth. And you say, it don't make a difference. It does. If I put my name on a check and say, change the reverend to minister, so forth, that won't cash nothing. That's right. It'll be turned down at the bank. But all this mystery is revealed only, as he promised, it's only revealed to his bride. The Bible says, Jesus spoke and said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries, amen, but not to them. I'll read that perhaps in a moment. Hell is against this truth of the revelation of this mystery. All hell is against it. But the bride is standing on it. That's her stand. Why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? It's the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you. If the hunger and thirsting to grasp it, to for it, is from the Father, then surely the Father will reveal it to those who hunger and thirst after it. But why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? It's the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you. But you let so many things get it out of you. You let your job, you let your wife, you let your husband, you let your children, you let the cares of the world, you let some pastor, you let somebody else get it out of you. When you know that way down in your heart, you're thirsting, hungry, it's God trying to reveal it to you, the revelation. The last day is here. Let's look back again. I can't pass this. I want you to look here just a moment. In Colossians 18th verse, now he is the head of the church, the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the head of the church, which is his body. He wants the preeminence. Listen now close. He is to be the head of the body, his bride's body, which is taken from him, flesh and bone like Adam. See, the bride, born from the dead, that's born from the dead, the sin of unbelief. What killed Eve? Unbelief, is that right? Their unbelief in what? The unbelief in God? No, she had faith in God. Did she say there is no God? No, sir. She wasn't an infidel. Well, she said, you know, I believe his word. She didn't say, I don't believe his word at all. Oh, no. She believed all but one little thing, see. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22, let's read verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen them, I fell down before the feet of the angel which shewed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In the seals, when Brother Branham was ministering on the seals in Jeffersonville, here the fifth seal, he says, have you caught anything? I just wondered if you was, I might not have to tell you then Sunday. Notice, wonderful, notice. Then according to the time that God was going to deliver the Andaluvian world, he sent the eagle. And the time he was going to deliver Israel, he sent the eagle. Do you believe that? He's talking about an eagle is a prophet. Do you believe that the time, even on John in the Isle of Patmos, this message was so perfect, he couldn't trust it with an angel? You know, an angel was a messenger, but you know the messenger was a prophet. You believe that? Let's prove it. Revelations 22, see if that was an eagle. Sure, he was an angel, he was a messenger, but it was a prophet that revealed this whole book of Revelations to John. Revelations, the 22nd chapter, 9th verse, says, I believe it's right if I've written it down. Then saith he, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. Watch what John's seen here. I, John, saw things and heard them. Now he's closing it, this last chapter. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which shewed these things. Then he said unto me, see thou do it not. See, no true prophet would be worshipped or a messenger of any kind, see. He said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now the book was so important that it was the word of God. Now watch. And when the word of God is brought, it's got to be brought by the prophet, because that's who the word of God comes to. I was expecting to get a question here, so I thought I would get to it. Every word of God is brought. The Bible doesn't change the system at all. It's the same thing. It's got to come this to this seer that we're expecting to arrive in Revelations 10, 1 through 7. Now, before we go to that verse, I want to ask something. Do you see perfectly before we leave these seals? Now remember, there is no power goes out after the eagle. No more. Every time the Antichrist sent forth something, God sent a power. The Antichrist sent another power. God sent something to combat it. And then he sent another power, and God sent something to combat it. And then God, he got down to the eagle. And that was his word back as it was in the first place. Isn't the prophet, watch, isn't it the prophet that we're looking to come, some man anointed with the spirit of Elijah? It won't be Elijah, of course. It'll be a man like that that will come, and his very ministry is to send or restore back the fallen people through these denominational twists back to the original faith of the fathers. Now, I know that more often, even though we realize we have eternal life, that we look at that we had a start. We had a beginning place. But if we're eternal, then we couldn't have a beginning place. We had to always be. And of course we can say, well, we were in the mind of God. But friends, nothing is impossible with God. You can't limit God. You can't limit God with your own imagination. You can't limit God with your human understanding. And Brother Branham was pointing at this one who is a prophet, he claims himself to be a prophet, that was the one that was revealing all these things to John in the book of Revelations. And he says, I'm of your fellow servants, the prophets. Now, I believe that that was pointing at who that really was that was standing there revealing those things to John. I believe it was that seventh angel messenger that was revealing the whole book of Revelations to John. That's what Brother Branham is saying, that it was that seventh angel messenger. Hallelujah. I'm about to close. In 1950, Brother Branham preached a message, take the rod and gather the people in Cleveland, Ohio. And he says this, always since the beginning, as far as we know, has had a way of healing. He always has divine healing for his church. Isn't that right? In the journeys in the wilderness, plumb back to the days of Abraham. Now he healed Sarah of being barren. He's been the miraculous working God all down through the ages. And if he's done it down through the ages and then come in here to the closing of all ages, could he belittle himself and weaken his power and say there's no more of it? God forbid. Before my entry now, everywhere through the ages, back in those days, why, there wasn't as many people. Gifts wasn't needed as much as they are now. And just think, friends, that in the ministry that I've had from the Lord alone, I've seen many, many, many times more miracles performed than is written in the Bible. That Jesus Christ done in those 3 years in one unit, one group of his ministry, one group, he done more miracles than has been written in the Bible. Everything that could be written in the Bible except leprosy that I know of has been healed even to three specific cases of people who were pronounced dead and are living tonight healthy and strong. Who did that? Now, and Brother Ram also says this in another message and says there was more miracles that's been done in Jeffersonville than Jesus Christ ever did in his own ministry. Now, Brother Branham is making this statement, but now watch how he ends it. Who did that? He's asking the question, who did those miracles? And he answers it and says, Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Truly, I would like for those that turn in their backs, I'd like them to answer me this question. What other ministry have they seen this take place in? I know there was one individual who's proclaimed that there's been miracles happen in his ministry. And, Brother Branham never proclaimed these things to lift himself up, but it was to point at Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Brother Branham never used it to point people away from anyone, but it was always to point them toward Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Just continue to be in prayer with me as I continue studying on this subject of there just seems to be so much in these verses of scripture that I read considering the end of the conversation. Just seems to be so much to cover, but I felt led to bring out for all of our young people and I know a lot of times I say young people and everybody looks around and says, well, we got Lisa. She's not the only one that's young. You know, if you're younger than me, you're young. Isn't that right, Brother Phil? And so for all our young believers, I should say, I felt led to bring these things out and show this, why we believe what we believe. You know. And show it scripturally. Amen. So I just trust you've been blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we're thankful, God, that you have spoken unto us. Thankful, Lord, that you sent us. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, as the song says, you didn't have to open our eyes. You could have easily passed us by. For the day we were living in was a day of blindness. Lord, you did open our eyes. And you've let us see the mysteries that you promised that you would reveal. And Lord, these mysteries weren't made to lift us up, Lord, as a person, but it was meant to reveal to us you, who you were. And Lord, reveal who we are. Reveal where we came from. Lord, reveal that we came from eternity and that we're returning back to eternity. Lord, as Brother Branham talked about a couple coming together to be married, and he said it was two beings of eternity that's dropped down into bodies of time. And we'll be reunited again back in eternity. Lord, so we see we came from eternity and we're going back to eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you've opened these things up, not that we could be puffed up with knowledge, but Lord, so that we could be dressed in the clothes of this word. And Lord, be ready to go when the bridegroom calls the bride away. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and ask your blessings on the people now in Jesus' name. Amen.